I'm going to start this message with some figures that don't make particularly for very pleasant reading. In our nation alone, since March, over 41,000 people have died from the coronavirus. That is 41,000 families who have lost a loved one unexpectedly. 41,000 families in mourning. Worldwide, that currently stands at over 435,000 families. Now, I know that seems like a very bleak way to start a message, but it's a reality we're living with right now. And as Christians, we shouldn't ignore or close our minds to what's happening, or pretend it's not happening. In the book of Romans, Paul tells us to take the mourning and the sadness of other people extremely seriously. Romans 12, verses 14 to verse 18 says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honourable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." Now, I read more of that than I needed to, but there's some other stuff in there that actually we should really take to heart. And this isn't just about how we relate to those in church. This is how we should be relating to everyone. Mourn with those who mourn. Weep with those who weep. We must consider that suffering and consider it seriously. Because Jesus is close to those who are in mourning. And if he is close to them, we must be too. For those who are going through the loss of a loved one at the moment, in any circumstance, not just through the virus, it can often feel like Jesus is a long way away. But it's in those times that people need to know that actually Jesus is at his closest. And that we too, as his body, are at the closest for others. Psalm 147 verse 3, it says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Listen, if you are feeling brokenhearted today, maybe through mourning, maybe through another type of tragedy that's took place in your life, remember that God heals the brokenhearted and binds up those wounds. That Jesus is with you throughout all of it. And that takes us to today's story. A story about a woman who met Jesus when she was in mourning. And this is one of the most beautiful stories in all the Gospels. Because this story shows us the compassion of Jesus. It shows us the power of Jesus. And it shows us the love of Jesus so strongly. This story takes place just outside a small town. That's about 25 miles outside of Capernaum. A town called Nain. I'm going to read from Luke 7, verses 11 to 17. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen amongst us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. You know, human life is so fragile. And nothing illustrates that quite like a funeral. That's something that right throughout the world at the moment we're having to deal with the reality of, and that's the fragility of life. And Jesus arrives at this town of Nain, and he encounters a funeral procession. And I don't know what you picture when you picture a funeral procession, but this funeral procession is not quite the same as the ones we'd be familiar with today. This isn't a silent procession of cars. This was something quite a lot louder. There was a considerable crowd that we read, and it was clear to those who were approaching that this woman was a widow who had lost her only son. Now that begs a question, doesn't it? How does Jesus and disciples and the crowd with him know the circumstances that this woman's going through so quickly? That not only has she lost her only son, but that she's also a widow. It also seems likely that this funeral would have followed the local customs. And that gives us an explanation as to how they knew the circumstances. There would have been a band of professional mourners, people with flutes and cymbals and wailing with cries of grief. There may even have been wailing out and crying out the situation that this woman was in, crying out, "He was his mother's only son, and she is a widow." Now, that might seem to our sensibilities a bit strange for a funeral to look and sound like that. It might even seem to us a bit unseemly. But it was a very accepted and common way of conducting funerals at this time, and today still in some parts of the world. It was a way for a family and a community to express their grief. So the circumstances behind this sad scene are immediately obvious to those who pass by, including to Jesus. The places for burials were always outside the town. You never buried somebody in the town. So they would have all been heading out to the place of burial. And we're not talking about a comfortable limousine. We're talking about walking from the town to the graveyard. For this woman, this walk, can you just imagine it for a moment? The worst has happened. What a terrible, terrible, tragic day this is for her. A widow burying her only son. You know, it's a true tragedy when a parent has to bury their child. But that this was her only child. And not only that, the fact that she's a widow. I can't comprehend what this poor woman is going through right now. Aside from just the heartache and the loss, this woman's entire life is an extremely difficult position now. For a woman in that culture, at that time, she's in a very difficult situation. You see, for a woman to be left with no man to support her in an agricultural community in the Middle East, in New Testament times, let me tell you, it was catastrophic. A widow would have needed the care of her sons to survive. But he's gone. She would have had no means of providing for herself. She couldn't own her own property, not unless she was a Roman citizen, in which case she did have some rights. Now, I know when you hear that, you think, well, that seems unfair, and you'd be right, it is unfair. That's the precarious position that a woman could find herself in back then. That's why there's so many references in the Bible, both New and Old Testament, about caring for widows. Because often society itself didn't. But this woman isn't just a widow. She's a widow who's burying her only son. So on top of the grief and the loss, she's now left without any means of support. She's lost everything. And she's facing poverty for the rest of her life. And that's the scene Jesus encounters on this day. And then in Luke 7 verse 13 we read this. Then the Lord saw her. He had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." We first read about the position of the fragility of human life and the fragility of everything we hold to. But the next thing we read about is the compassion of Jesus. This word, compassion, it's a good word, but it's also a little lacking in the real thrust of what's been said here. Compassion just sounds so English and polite, do you know what I mean? The word here used in the Greek is the strongest Greek word for sympathy. It's not just that he had compassion, as in, oh, Jesus had compassion. But it's saying he was moved to the depths of his heart for this woman. It speaks of a sympathy that comes from deep within. The word suggests so deep, like where the center of emotion is, that's where he was feeling moved. Let me tell you, Jesus cares deeply. God cares deeply. See, when we look at Jesus, we see God isn't distant. He is not unkind. He is not apathetic to your cause. See, whilst God is great, we can also say God is good. If you believe God to be cold and distant, not only will this world seem like a cold and distant and harsh place, then you'll easily find roots into despair. If you feel that, it shows you don't know Jesus very well at all. Because the cross speaks of the compassion of Jesus. A cold, distant God would just leave mankind to its fate and then decide who's worthy afterwards. A cold, distant God would make merit the way into heaven. But Jesus has shown us such compassion. He is so moved by our state that he gave his life to restore us to the Father. You need to hear this today. Jesus cares for you. Jesus cares for you. Now, you might have heard this many times before. I'm sure you have. You may well have heard, Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. But you need to really hear this. You need to understand how true this is. Jesus cares for you. You. The creator of the universe is moved by compassion for you. What you are going through today, you are not going through alone, because Jesus cares for you in your situation. the one who named the stars, sees you right now. And he knows what you are facing. He knows what you are going through. And Jesus cares deeply. How often, when hard times come, we forget this. So often when hard times come, we can't see this. But let me tell you, it's true. In your mourning, in your grief, in your hurting, Jesus is with you. And Jesus is moved by compassion for this woman. And when Jesus is moved, Jesus moves. Luke 7, verse 14 to 15. And he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. He took her son and he gave him back to his mother. He took what was lost in her life. He restored it. He turned the situation around. He intervened in her life. You see, Jesus has more than just heartfelt compassion. Jesus also has the power to make the difference. He went up and he touched the bier, which incidentally is like a wicker basket that the body would have been carried to the grave in. You're not in a coffin, you're in this basket. And Jesus changed everything in a moment. You know, we're told in the Bible that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means Jesus today, right now, has as much compassion as he did then. His sympathy for our suffering and heartache is just as strong for you as it was when he looked at this woman. Jesus is the same as when he healed those 10 lepers we looked at a few weeks ago. The same as when he raised the daughter of Jairus. The same as when he said to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth," and Lazarus was raised. The same when the woman who was bleeding touched the hem of his garment. He's the same as when he stopped the stoning of the adulterous woman. He is the same today as he was yesterday. When times are dark, when going is hard, when you struggle to even wonder why you are still here on this planet, when they feel like there's no friend, there's nobody around you, there's no hope, let me tell you, there is no friend or comforter that is greater than our Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Turn to him first. Turn to him foremost. Because he cares absolutely for you. And if he cares for you, what can we face that is possibly greater than that? Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Because we can see the compassion that Jesus has, you don't have to guess at the answer to that question. It's not an if as in, if God is for us, I wonder if God is for us. No, it's an if to say, because God is for us, who can be against us? Jesus shows us that because Jesus is still the same. Jesus will never fail us. He will never disappoint us. He will never be distracted or more interested in somebody else than he is in you. He is the one who sticks closer to you than a brother. He is just as compassionate, and he is just as powerful. Now, does that mean life is going to be easy? No. But it does mean this. One day he will wipe away every tear from every eye. He gives life back to a dead man with just a few words. What an amazing, wonderful miracle this is. You know, Jesus didn't struggle to do it. He didn't agonize over this. He spoke, and it was so. That's the power of our Jesus. He speaks to a corpse, a lifeless body. The heart, the lungs, all the synapses in the brain all start firing again, back into life, at the command of Jesus. And all Jesus said was, "Young man, I say to you, arise." See, Jesus has the power to transform your situation. I don't know what your situation is, but I know Jesus has the power to transform it. This woman's greatest need at this point was for her son to be returned, because without him she had nothing. And Jesus knew that. He knew what was needed to change this woman's circumstance. She doesn't ask Jesus for help. She doesn't say, "Jesus, please bring my son back." Jesus sees the need, and he acts. Now, there's an objection coming that I can hear. I can hear it. And it's this. I lost someone. And it destroyed me. It wrecked me. Why did Jesus not bring them back? Does that mean Jesus doesn't care about me the same way he cared about this woman? No. We need to appreciate something for a moment. In Scripture, the raising from the dead is a rarity, even in the life of Jesus. That's why each time it happens, it causes ripples right across the country, and people far and wide become aware of it, because it is not an everyday occurrence. Every time somebody dies, it's a loss for somebody. And everyone dies. See, Jesus didn't and doesn't raise every person from the dead. It's recorded in the Scriptures of 3 times, just 3 times, that Jesus raised people from the dead. He touched a lot of lives. He healed many people, all who came to him. He probably raised more, but it's only recorded 3 times. In the book of Acts, the exploits of the early church, where there's miracle after miracle, only 2 recorded raising from the dead. Tabitha and Eutychus. Now, what point am I making here? Well, very often we want to tell Jesus how we want him to answer our prayers. And in the case of a loved one who's passed, that would be the impulse. Of course it would. But it's rare in Scripture, and it's rare in life. If Jesus doesn't answer your prayer the way you want it answering, doesn't mean your prayer hasn't been heard. It doesn't mean Jesus doesn't care. It means that actually raising from the dead is rare, because that isn't always what you need. Because what isn't rare is Jesus taking compassion and transforming the situation. What isn't rare is the miraculous change that Jesus brings. But those things often go unnoticed when we're looking for the spectacular rather than what we actually need in a given situation. See, Jesus can give you the strength to get through situations. Jesus can turn the outside circumstances around, and what seems terrible therefore can be used for your good. He can provide for you where there's lack. He can comfort when there's nobody else to comfort you. He can bring healing. He can bring restoration. He can heal damaged relationships, even ones that seem damaged beyond repair. He can heal broken hearts. He can set you free from the things you've allowed to make you captive. Why? Because Jesus cares. Because Jesus is powerful. And occasions like this proved them both. He shows here that he has power over mankind's greatest enemy. Death. And that's important. Because it's only the one who has power over death. That's the one who's going to be able to save us all from death. Tells us a sense of awe and fear came over all the people. And they said, God has visited his people. See, this miracle shows them who Jesus is. They realize only God could do this, that Jesus must have come from God. They began to realize that Jesus was their hope. You see, Jesus turns up to a funeral and he makes it into a revival. Jesus turns up to a funeral and it becomes a party. Jesus turns up on the worst day of this woman's life and it became the greatest day of her life. The enemy wanted this to be a bad day. Jesus made it a great day. Listen. The enemy wants this time in our history to be terrible and dark. And for many people, it is. Fear and disharmony are everywhere at the moment. One thing again and again after another, to the point where you turn on the news some nights and you wonder, what next? What have you got in store next for us, 2020? See, the enemy wants this to be the worst of times, but Jesus can make this the best of times if you let him work and move during this lockdown in your life. See, Jesus is with those who mourn. Jesus is beside them, and he's asking that his people are with them too. Because Jesus can turn mourning into dancing. Jesus gave back to this woman everything she had lost and set her on a brand new start in life. The impact of this day changed the course of the rest of this woman's life. In a moment, everything changed. You know, that still happens today. Every time somebody comes to Jesus and gives their life to him, everything changes in a moment. You, just like this son, move from a place of dead to alive. That's the miracle that takes place. We who were once dead, dead to God, dead to heaven, dead in our sin, become alive once again. Ravi Zacharias puts it like this. He says, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. See, that's the condition. We were once all in, carried along in our own wicker basket. Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 7, it says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is at work now in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus might have raised just three people from the dead physically, but he has raised millions upon millions upon millions spiritually. And let me tell you, that one lasts a lot longer. The one who was able to restore hope to this widow can bring hope into your life. He can restore your connection to God the Father. He will give back what the enemy has stolen from you. He will give you a hope that this world just can't offer. Jesus can turn the worst of times into the best of times. See, Jesus died on a cross so that you could be restored. That's how much he loves you. He took on all your sin, all your mistakes, every selfish thing you've ever done, every time you've messed up or hurt others, everything. He took it on himself so that you can be forgiven, so that you could be made whole. See, Jesus came to offer you life, to you who were dead. And he's saying to you now, sit up, arise. Now, just for a moment, as we draw to a close, I'm going to give you something that is my opinion on something. I may be wrong, but this is what I think. I think this young man had a choice of whether to sit up or not. I believe Lazarus, who Jesus also raised, had a choice whether to come forth. To the little girl who died, Jesus said, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Each one he asks to do something, and they made a decision to obey Jesus and live. Well, you know what? It's the same for you. He died for you, but you have a choice whether you will respond to what he's done. Jesus is putting that same choice on you today. He's saying, arise. Will you choose life in him or death in sin? Will you obey his call and live? See, if you respond to him today, he can give you a brand new life. Jesus met this woman in her mourning and changed her life. There's many in mourning at the moment. Jesus can meet every single one of them where they are. He can turn our mourning into dancing. He can turn our despair and our pain into joy. The question is will we respond to him and follow him? Because when we do that, Jesus can change everything. This woman met Jesus in the worst time in her life. I don't know where you are or what you're going through, but I know that when you meet Jesus, even the worst time can become the best time. God bless you.